And we're so excited that you guys are here today. If you're visiting here, we want to say a big warm welcome to you. My name's Jason. My beautiful wife is on the keyboard, Brooke. And it's a privilege and pleasure to serve with you here today. We have a special guest that I'm going to get ready to introduce in a few moments. I believe that the Lord really has something special for us today. How many remembered about 6 weeks ago that we were blessed through the Convoy of Hope to give about $40,000 worth of food away to our community? Just incredible. And so this place was full. We didn't even know how we were going to give it all away. And car by car came in, and we were able to bless and pray for where Dr. Nick Garza in a few moments is going to come and share a devotional and tell us about Convoy of Hope. And we're going to be able to give him a show of appreciation and his organization a show of appreciation for helping us reach the mission field that God's called us to. All right, I'm going to get out of the way. Dr. Nick Garza, Convoy of Hope. You've got about 20 minutes before the kids go crazy. But would you guys give it up for Nick Garza as he comes today and blesses us with a devotion and a word?
Hey, God's here. I don't know if you have experienced or felt what I felt this morning, but that time of worship just ushered something in, and I have been flooded with thoughts, and I'm like, okay, what am I supposed to do with all this? But I just want to share one thing that God dropped into my spirit, and this may impact you or not, but this is a word for your church. As I travel across the U.S., more and more people are getting into this thing called a hobby farm, where they purchase some land, they put up a pretty barn, and they paint it real nice. Well, I grew up in Washington State in farm country, and there was no such thing as a barn that was just there for decoration. They were there for work. They were there for harvest. And the Lord dropped in my spirit that there are many churches in the West, in Oregon, that have become, instead of farms, they've become hobby farms. Or it still looks good, it's still what it used to be, but it's just looks that they're not really pulling in the harvest. And I'm here to let you know that everything that God is doing, and if you're visiting today, listen to me, everything God is doing on this property is not to have a hobby farm, it's to have a great harvest for the Lord. Amen? Amen? So when we go back, and I said we, when we go back to the sanctuary, it's not just it's going to be a prettier barn. It's going to be a barn ready for harvest. And I expect God to do great things. You know why? Because he needs to be glorified. This is so that we could say, look what Parkway did. This is all to point to Jesus, because what's really going to change the world is when we all together point to the Lord. How many of you would agree with me right now that God wants to do a great, great thing? He's already prepared the harvest. We just got to receive it. Amen. So I am super, super excited. What is Convoy of Hope? I want to share that real quickly. But before I do that, look at your neighbor real quick and tell them these things. Tell them, if you wouldn't have come to church today, let's try it again like you had caffeine. If you wouldn't have come to church today, I would be the best looking person here. Amen. So as your pastor said, several weeks ago, you had a truck show up here. That's part of what we do. There's going to be a slide up on the screen. I want to show you what we did in 2024 because of partners like churches like yours. Last year, 639,000 kids were fed every school day all over the world because of churches like you that have participated in our children's feeding program. Our goal is 1 million kids every single school day, and we want to achieve that by 2030. And we're on our way. The trajectory is correct, and we're so excited. Would you pray with us? Would you pray with us to get there for God's glory? 61,000 women and girls were trained for not only discipleship, but to start their own careers, their own jobs in many, many countries. 39,000 farmers have been trained just last year, and we're upscaling that this year so that they can produce their own food, where we don't need to send them food, but they're producing their own. Last year, there was 800 disasters that we responded to. One of the things that Convoy does, and when the fires hit here in Oregon or floods hit right here in your home state, we respond.
Test. Okay, we help the first responders immediately with water and with food, and then we help families when things go on. So whether it's on the West Coast, the fires that happened in Los Angeles this year, many churches stepped up and helped us. And when the hurricanes begin to hit, we're there. When you see battles and wars and things going on, Convoy of Hope is slipping food to help people. We can't tell you everywhere that we are, but just pray for us every time you see something happen on television, because we're probably already headed there. The difference between us and Red Cross and other people is we exclusively partner with the church. So we don't go to a country and say, here we are, look at us. We go to a country and empower the local church to do greater ministry. So we have the church supporting the church. In other words, it's a kingdom of God thing, not a project for a nonprofit. Last year, 130 countries were served. 130 countries were served around the world. And 1.2 million people were served through community events like the one you had here about 6 weeks ago. What is Convoy of Hope? Years ago, in 1969, for some of you that are very young, you're going to think that was, wow, in the 1900s. Yeah, I was born in the 1900s. The year that I was born, 1969, do the math, you know how old I am. I feel young, but my body says you're not. But 1969, Hal Donaldson was a young kid in Concord, California. His dad was a pastor. His dad was hit by a drunk driver, lost his life. His mom was severely injured, and they got taken to a home of a Christian family. It was a single-wide trailer with three little bedrooms, and they stuffed their kids in there, and they lived with them for about a year and a half. And he began something in his heart saying, I'm going to grow up and help the poor and suffering somehow. The Lord led him down a path. He began to give out groceries in California, and the story goes from there. So in 1994, he establishes Convoy of Hope, and it's just grown every single year since then. In fact, just this last year, we became the 23rd largest nonprofit in the United States of America. That's a big deal. And even if we raise $100, $200, $300, $400 million, I can guarantee you it's all spent. And about 92 cents of every dollar given goes to the immediate need. That's how much God has blessed this organization. So I represent them. I've been a friend of Hal's for a while. I served on the board. And as I started to get that thing in my heart, God, you are all about compassion. And you are all about generosity. I want you to know that when you're generous, you're not just giving to an institution. You are participating in the will of God. Because he's generous. Someone say amen. I'm not going to pick up an offering today, but I want you to know that a generous God expects you to flow in generosity. And when God begins to do that, he does something in your heart, and that's what happened to me. I could be doing a bunch of other things, but I've committed myself now to come alongside the church and say, if you would be generous, together we can change the world. We can change the world. I'm a church boy. I grew up in the church. I love the church. I'm a church nerd. I'm the chairman of the board of my church right now. I teach. You can see me online every single Thursday. There's something up for those that can't make it to our midweek service. I'm all involved in the church as much as I can be. So this is my life. And I want you to know it's not a hobby for me. I'm not a professional Christian. I love Jesus. I said, I love Jesus. I love Jesus, and I've met too many people that because they get a paycheck from a church, they don't love Jesus anymore. They just become professional. They pray for people professionally. Your pastor's not like that. As a matter of fact, I want you to give them some appreciation today. Would you appreciate Jason and Brooke right now for everything? And I want to be very careful here, but I thank God for every problem you've ever had. I thank God for every trial you've ever had, because he's produced something in the two of you that he's going to use powerfully for his kingdom. So those days that you were going, what in the world are we doing? God knew exactly what he was doing. Amen? Do you all agree with me? Man, take care of your pastors. Love on your pastors. It's not Pastors Appreciation Day, but I think we should appreciate them every single Sunday. They got people up at camp. They got people here. This is amazing. Speaking of family and family camp, I want to just quickly share a short word, and then we'll pray together about family in Scripture. One of the stories that captures my heart is the story of the prodigal son. So I want to talk to you a little bit about a tale of two siblings, because how many of you know that in Scripture, in the original text, when you see titles, right, to help you with the story of what's coming next, when you see those titles, the original text didn't have those titles put in there. Those are there to help us. As a matter of fact, where you see numbers for verses, I'm not being controversial here, okay? I love the Bible. I believe everything is true in the Bible. I'm just telling you, when you see numbers for verses, we put those in there because we wanted people to be able to follow along, like in a hymn book, for those of you that are a little older like me, so that you could find where you're at. But some of those things we've added, so I believe that this story may have not been called the prodigal son by the Lord, but more the prodigal family. Because there was a son that stayed that had just as many issues as the son that left. How many of you remember the story? If you don't, I'm going to share some of it with you and pull out some nuggets for you and I to move forward in our faith in Jesus and not in religious dogma. Amen? So Luke chapter 15, Lord, be with us. Use this word to touch lives right now in Jesus' name. Amen. In Luke chapter 15, you encounter this story. Some of you remember it well. There's a young man, his father must have some kind of wealth because he goes to him and he says, I want my inheritance now. You ever been the kind of person that just wants it all right now? Right? How many of you believe that your timing is better than God's timing? Raise your hand. No, but that's how we act sometimes, right? Lord, if you would just do it when I need it instead of when you want to do it, then maybe I'll... No, that's not the way it works. God's timing is always better than ours. So when you look at this story, this story isn't just about two guys and a dad. This story is about the kingdom of God. Every single one of the parables, Jesus is inviting you into relationship with a new kingdom principle, a new mindset, something different than most of us have ever really experienced. That's what he's drawing us into. So this story is about a house, the kingdom of God. I believe the church is a microcosm, a mini example of the kingdom of God. It is here where you can sit by people that will rub you the right way and the wrong way. Amen? Church is wonderful. Church is a place where a dentist and a bum can sit side by side and worship the same God. And if they both love Jesus, man, they're the best of friends. It's incredible what happens in a local church. So I want you to think about this as God's kingdom, God's house, your church, and what we're really after with the Lord. So this young man, he says to his dad, give me everything right now. He takes it. How many of you remember? He runs off to Vegas. And he spends all his money and his friends. He gets friends. How many of you know if people have some money, they got friends? Because the friends don't care about the person. They care about your money. So they're hanging out with him. They're having a good time. Wild living. That's what the Bible says. Imagine what wild living is to you. And it's probably that times a little bit more. And all of a sudden, he finds himself with nothing. Nothing in Greek means nothing. It's the same. He has nothing. And in Luke 15:15, it says, so when he went and hired himself out to a citizen of that country who sent him into the field to feed pigs. Here's a guy that had everything at home, takes half the money and spends it all, and now he's feeding pigs. If you know anything about Jewish people and pigs don't live on the same planet. So this is, the Bible's telling us, there's nowhere lower to go. He's feeding pigs now. He longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. Hey, those of you that are a little older like me, this isn't a cute story from Sunday school where, remember, do you remember the flannel boards? they would magically, they'd put them up there. I miss those things. Man, these screens, they have nothing on that old-fashioned technology. I remember the prodigal son story, and the teacher stuck the thing on the wall, and he had sores, and he's there looking at the pigs and just longing to eat with. This is a real story. It's not just make-believe. He's making a point here with a story that happened, and God is sharing with us that this guy is at his lowest, and he comes to his senses. There is always got to be a time in your life where the light comes back on, where you come to your senses. Have you ever heard of this statement in English? Are you in your right mind? That doesn't mean that there's a left mind. What it means is people are out of their mind, right? And we are living in a society where everybody's talking about different layers of mental illness. And I'm not here to tell you or give you a teaching on that. I'm just telling you, if there's mental illness, there must be mental wellness. If there's a wrong mindset, there must be a right mindset. That's obvious, right? So when it says he came to his senses, it means that before, he wasn't in his senses. He wasn't in his right mind. And life sometimes will humble you to where you got to turn back to God, the God of relationship, not the God of religion. Amen? When he comes to his senses, he says, how many of my father's hired servants have food to spare? And here I am starving to death. I will set out and go back to my father. I love the way he plans this. I'm going to go and repent. And this is the way it's going to work. I'm going to go back to him. I'm not going to expect anything. I'm going to say to my dad, hey, I've sinned against you and heaven. Man, just give me a job. Just let me work. Just let me do my thing here. He wasn't expecting sonship. He was just expecting to be able to go back to work for his dad. Listen to these little points that I'm going to make to you. Sometimes you just have to learn for yourself. If you have a child that's gone astray, stop stressing out. Pray. Indeed, pray. And expect them to come home. And be prepared for them to come home. But listen, they got to learn their lesson. They got to sometimes just find their way until they know I'm not doing it the way I was taught. Be the kind of family that teaches in such a way that when they go astray, they know what the right way is, right? And that's what this father obviously did, because he knew he needed to go home. It was better to be home and be a servant than to be where he was at that time. Listen to this. Lost doesn't mean hopeless. If someone you know is lost, it doesn't mean they're without hope. There's always hope in Jesus. In fact, hope has a name, and his name is Jesus. And finally, whether the setback is external, in other words, somebody has been through something and now they have an amazing setback because of illness or because of circumstance, there's a setback that's external or internal. Meaning, you just became rebellious. I just want to go do my own thing like this guy. Whether it's external or internal, the result is the same. You need to come back. You need to come back. And that's what he needed to do. So I'm going to put that aside. That represents for me, I grew up in church, that represents to me, and we're being recorded, so I won't say names. My cousins, I'm not going to say any names, but Adriel and Juan and I'm not going to say any names, Tommy, but they grew up in church with me, and they went and they tried to experience the world, and many of them came back, right? I represent the other kid. The one that grew up in church, I wasn't perfect, don't get me wrong, but I grew up in church. I never went and experienced or experimented with a bunch of worldly things. I was called to ministry at 13. How many of you know God messes up every high school party when he calls you at 13? I was the designated driver for my high school class. that was my life. So I was that kid. I was the other sibling watching everybody go away and some of them come back and say, God, why are you blessing them? I've been here the whole time. I've been serving you. But I had the wrong mindset too. Are you hearing me? I had the wrong mindset too. The point this morning is that all of us capture the heart of God. Whether we come to church every Sunday or we haven't been to church in a long time, we all have the same opportunity and obligation to capture the heart of God. So brother number two, here's what it says about him. Meanwhile, the older son was in the field, And he comes near the house, and he hears music, and he hears dancing. There was a party going on right here, a celebration to last throughout the years. So bring your... No, I'm just kidding. Some of you know what I'm talking about. Some of you just lost right now. There was a party. There was dancing, right? And he says this. He calls one of the servants over to him. Pastor, listen to this. He calls a servant over him. He says, hey, what's going on? How do you not know what's going on and it's your house? Can you answer that question? Because he didn't understand his father. What's going on? His father was busy getting a little calf fat, polishing a ring, getting some new shoes. He never knew his dad was waiting for his brother. He never knew that that's what a party would be about. He didn't know the level of party because he didn't know any of that. Why? Because he was disconnected from the father, even though he was in the father's house. There are people that come to church and still don't have God's heart. That's called religion. There are people that come to church and they have the heart of God because they're walking in relationship. And when we get together and we're all in relationship with God, amazing things happen in the house of God. Here's what the servant says to the brother. Your brother has come. How did the servant know and he didn't? Your brother has come and your father has killed the fattened calf because he has made He has him back safe and sound. The older brother becomes angry. Verse 28, and he refuses to go in. I love what the father does here. Instead of being like some of us saying, you don't want to come to the party? Just sit out there. More food for us. Instead of doing that, he goes and finds that son too. You see, he had two lost sons. One that lived there and one that had left there. So he goes to him and he pleads with him. And he answers his father, and let's look at what he says closely. All these years, I've been slaving for you. His self-image was the image of a slave, not a son. We are sons and daughters of God. Amen? God's not calling you to be a slave. He's calling you to be a son. He's calling you to be a daughter. He's calling us to be a family of God. He says, I've been slaving over you. I never disobeyed your orders. Oh, so you were just following orders. Be careful when all you're doing is following the orders. Fall in love with Jesus, not just the orders. Amen? Now, I believe in doing right and wrong, but I believe that right and wrong comes through an amazing relationship with God, where Jesus has set you free and the Holy Spirit is guiding your life. He says, you never gave me a goat. You never ever gave me carne asada. You never gave me ribs. You never gave me tri-tip. You never gave me anything to party with my friends. Imagine that. What does his dad tell him? But when the son of yours goes and he squanders your property, and then look, he gets in the detail, right? This is where Christian gossip comes in. Squandered his property with prostitutes. I'm just going to pause right there for a moment. Because that's pretty heavy, right? It's not an accusation. It's probably true. But he was focused on everything his brother did wrong. He didn't know anything that his brother had done right. Think about that. He is gossiping. He has learned what his brother was doing wrong, but he had no idea that his brother had returned. Our job in the house of God is to party when people return, not point out where they went wrong. Amen? Because if they're going to do right in the future, it's because they're going to fall in love and have a relationship with Jesus, not because you pointed at what they used to do. Be careful with giving your brothers and sisters titles from their past. Amen? Man, we have enough problems with our own self-identity. Some people walk around and they don't even have a name anymore. They just have the stamps that says divorced. And I'm sorry if the church ever looked at you different because your marriage didn't work out. But you are not to be identified because of your divorce. You're to be identified as a son or daughter of Jesus Christ. And you're healing from something that happened to you or you had a part of or whatever. You're healing of that just like I'm healing of something that I've been through. But my identity isn't in my sickness. My identity is in my healer. Somebody say amen. My identity is not in what I've been through. My identity is where I'm going to. My son, the father said. This is what the Lord would say to us. You're always with me. Everything I have is yours. But we had to celebrate and be glad because this brother of yours, I like this. He doesn't say, because my son. He said, this brother of yours, listen, in the house of God, we have a father and we have brothers and sisters. And God has an amazing way of saying, not, hey, that's my son, don't mess with them. Hey, that's your brother. That's your sister. Hold them up. Pray for them. Get excited when they return to Christ. And the new brothers and sisters that God will be adding to your church that will change your church. Oh, we want people saved as long as they come and do everything that we do. Listen, they'll come and they'll change your church. Now, your service style, your altar calls, all you do all that. But people have an amazing way of coming in and having their relationship with God, and they'll be a little bit different than you, and you got to love them because God is calling you to be a brother or a sister. Somebody say amen. If you're ready for that, the harvest is coming. The harvest is coming. One of the things I love about what we do with Convoy is we just set churches up for success. You do the ministry. You do the outreach. We'll provide some food. But when you begin to do that, the whole community starts to say, something's going on over there. Something different is going on over there, and I need to check it out. I need to be a part of it. And you welcome people into the family. Someone say amen. I'm going to land this plane, I promise. Because some of you are getting hungry and you're looking at me funny. You don't have to leave and return to be loved. Amen? We love you. We love you. God loves you. You don't got to go blow it and come back to experience that joy of returning. You could experience that joy every single day. Listen to this. Live in relationship, not in imaginary restraints. Live in a relationship with God. Don't keep putting on imaginary restraints. Don't just sleep under your father's roof. Get your father's heart. Jump in and prepare for a party because your brother and sister is coming home. They're coming home. We need to have the kind of church where everybody's welcome. Amen. But imagine the kind of church where everybody shows up and they're just become part of a party. Because you're ready to receive your new brother, your new sister. That would change the atmosphere. Amen? Man, you want to start a real cool reputation in town? Hey, over there at that church, they party a lot. You come in there and it's just like one big party. Everybody hugs you and shakes your hand and they give you a cup of coffee right away, and coffee must flow like crazy over there because everybody's having some. It's just a party atmosphere because, man, we're all the same. We're all trying to get through this life, put ourselves aside and make Jesus bigger. Relationship, relationship, relationship is your greatest inheritance. God, would you just give me this and give me that? Some of us pray that way. I've prayed that way. At 56 years old, I changed my prayer. God, just give me you. Give me you. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And then all the other stuff, he'll add to you. But you won't really care too much about all that other stuff because you got him. You got him. People are longing for relationship. Thank God when you find it. Listen to these things. I just messed with some words here. This is how we can change mentalities. I'm a product of. Stop saying that. I'm a product of a broken home. I'm a product of bad education. I'm a product of bullying. Stop saying that and start saying I am a producer of. That's how you change mentalities. I'm no longer a product of anything. Now God is calling me to produce something for his glory and his namesake. Listen to this one. It was an event. What happened to me was an event. It's not my identity. It's not my identity. Here's another one. You got to change from saying I'm a mistake. Now say, I made a mistake. You see the difference? You're not a mistake. You made a mistake. And God can forgive you from the mistake. But some people live in their mistake and they take it on as an identity. I don't know who I'm talking to, but the Lord keeps reminding me that somebody here is wearing clothes that God never intended you to put on. You're wearing a robe that God never intended for you to wear. You are possessing an identity from something that happened to you or something that you did, and God is saying, that's not your identity. You are my child. You are my son. You are my daughter. And finally, and this is one of my big ones, stop listening to loud opinions. Look for loud opportunities. Because God is shouting right now. Stop listening to people who would say they can't possibly do that. They can't achieve that. Stop listening to that and look for loud opportunities, because God is calling you right now to make a difference on this planet. And we come together to get our charge orders from Pastor so we could go out there into the real world and shine the light of Jesus. That was a lot, and I'm done. But there are some specific things that we could pray for right now. And so I'm going to just call a few things out, and we're going to spend some time in prayer before we close the service and all of that. First of all, when you see or hear this story, some of you immediately start thinking about a child or a grandchild that's lost. I've been in churches this size and even bigger ones. And when I ask the question, how many of you have a child or a grandchild that you're seriously worried about right now, raise your hand. And in every single church, 75% of the people will raise their hand. That's hard. Amen? You know, when you have a lost child, a lost grandchild, cake don't taste the same. Ice cream isn't as good as it used to be. Hello? It's just that that's always a longing thing. We need to pray to a God that can reach them no matter where they go. But change the way you pray. Pray this way. God, would you help them come to their senses? Would you help them come to their senses? Don't pray, God, let them fall all the way down and rub their dirt in the rub their face in the dirt and so they'll look at. Just say, God, whatever it takes, help them come to their senses. And I believe God will do it. Amen. And your job, go buy a ring. Go buy some steak. Put it in the freezer. There's going to be a party. They're coming home. I'm here to let you know someone's coming home. Someone's coming home. So we want to pray for that. We want to pray for that. If you're here and you're part of, you've been a Christian, you come to church, but you don't have that joy. Like the Bible says, Lord, take not that joy of my salvation. It's like you're a little joyless. I've been there. The tank is running a little empty. God wants to remind you, it's about relationship. Capture my heart. Amen. And you can go to another level in him. So whatever the prayer need is, if you're here and you say, I've been wearing the wrong identity, we want to pray for you this morning. Would you all just stand to your feet? Before we pray for anybody else, if you're here, you're visiting, you've been part of the house, you're watching online, you don't know Jesus as your Savior, listen, that's the starting point. Just invite Jesus into your life, and it's super, super simple. In fact, would you all just repeat this prayer with me? And if this is your first time praying it, pray it sincerely, and God will set you free. Get into a discipleship class. Come to the DNA class. Grow in your faith. God's got your back, and he's been inviting you. The Holy Spirit's been working on you long before you ever step through these doors. Let's pray together. Say, Jesus, I know I sin. And I know that you died for my sin. So I accept what you did on the cross. Forgive me right now. Teach me to walk in relationship. Write my name in the book of life. And set me free. Make me saved. In Jesus' name. Amen. If you prayed that for the first time, you need to tell somebody. I just became a Christian this morning. Now, if you're here and you identify with any of those other things I said, if you have a lost child or grandchild, why don't you slip out of your seat right now and come right up here. We want to pray with you. We want to pray with you. And we want to believe that God is going to do something miraculous this week. Come on, would you believe it with me? Come on, come on, come forward, come forward. If you're here and you've been wearing the wrong identity, you need to slip out of your seat and come up here. Don't walk out of this place with a burden that you could have left here. And if there's any other area, you just say, man, I just want someone to pray with me. Now, There's nothing necessarily magical about an altar. It's a state of mind. When you come forward and you come together up in front, you're saying, I'm serious about this. I'm gonna take a step. Believe me, God doesn't meet you halfway. He meets you the moment that you begin to step out of your seat. Would you lift your hands right where you're at? And I'm going to come down and I'm going to ask other leaders to help me pray. But just a general prayer before they begin to worship. Holy Spirit, you're in charge. Do your work. We turn this altar into a triage, into an operating room. Do your surgery. Set people free. Give them hope. Fill them with your presence. In Jesus' name, amen.
I just want to speak the name of Jesus over every heart and every mind. 'Cause I know there is peace within your presence. Oh, I speak Jesus. Oh, and I just want to speak the name of Jesus till every dark addiction starts to break. Oh, declaring there is hope and there is freedom. Oh, I speak Jesus. Your name, Lord, your name is power. Your name is healing. Your name is life. Break every stronghold. Shine through the shadows. Over fear and all anxiety, yeah. To every soul held captive by depression, I speak Jesus, yeah. Your name, Lord, your name is power, your name is healing, your name.
So kids,
oh,
check.
Break every stronghold.
So kids, I got a special announcement for you just in a second. And you want to make sure you tell your parents to pay attention, okay? But I feel like we're supposed to put this word that Dr. Nick gave us. We have a whole lot of people down here that are praying and a whole lot of people down here that are still receiving in the audience. Could we put some action? If you're sitting in the audience, would you come find someone to pray for? Would you surround them? Would you put your arm on a shoulder of a brother or sister who's believing for a son or daughter to come home or identity to be restored? As you can imagine, coming forward up front here can be quite intimidating. But there's some people down here that could use some hands of prayer. And I want us as a church family just to take 60 seconds here and put our hands on a shoulder and pray that sons and daughters would come home, that identity would be restored, that miracles would begin to happen. Brooke, would you just lead us one more time? And I want us as a church family just to pray. And we're going to break two things at once. We're going to break the orphan spirit, and we're going to bring the family spirit into this house.
Jesus in the streets, Oh, Jesus, in the darkness over every enemy. Oh, Jesus, for my family, I speak the holy name. From the mountains, Jesus in the streets, oh, Jesus in the darkness over every enemy.
Jesus for my family,
Jesus for my family, I speak the holy name.
I want to challenge you guys before we dismiss the person that you're praying for. If they feel open to it, would you ask them, hey, what's the prayer need or the name of the son or daughter or granddaughter or what's the thing that you're praying for? And let's be a family this week and pray that God does something in their life in an incredible way. Amen. All right, kids that are in the room, I want you to look at your mom and your dad here really quick. And I want you to say to them, the pastor said, say it to them, the pastor said, I get to go get ice cream today. Don't be covering their ears. They deserve it. They've been really good today. Is that fair? If everyone is in agreement, say aye. There we go. This pastor loves you. Thank you guys for being here today. If you need prayer, just stay right here. But I know the kiddos are getting a little bit restless. You guys can be dismissed. Thank you guys for being here. If you need prayer, we'll be up here. Would you guys give Nick Garson a big round of applause for blessing us with the word today? God bless you.